Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
An Erio's original.
I was born with a special gift. The ability to mentally transform any situation into the worst case scenario in my own brain. My therapist calls my gift catastrophizing. And that's why I'm uniquely qualified to scrutinize and analyze history's greatest disasters and find out who's to blame. They say history repeats itself. Not on my watch. My name is Rebecca Delgado Smith, and I am the Alarmist.
Hey everyone, thanks for tuning into The Alarmist, a comedy podcast where we talk about history's greatest tragedies and find out who's to blame. Today we're discussing the death of Natalie Wood. Here's what you need to know. 40 years later, the tragic death of Hollywood icon Natalie Wood still sparks intrigue and stirs up conspiracy theories about what really happened one fateful night in the fall of 1981. Born as Natasha Gurdon to Russian immigrant parents in 1938, Wood was almost immediately thrust into the spotlight, landing her first acting role at the age of 4 and going on to become an Oscar-nominated household name. She starred in classic films like Miracle on 34th Street, Rebel Without a Cause, Splendor in the Grass, and in a move that wouldn't fly today, played the iconic role of Maria in West Side Story. Wood was as famous as it gets, and of course that meant her personal life was often the subject of intense scrutiny and tabloid fodder. In 1957, at the age of 18, Wood married fellow actor Robert Wagner after a highly publicized romance. 5 years later, they divorced, and Wagner later admitted that their divorce was due in part to rumors that Wood was having an affair with Warren Beatty, though the rumors were untrue. Other rumors suggested that Wood left Wagner after discovering him in bed with another man. Wood went on to marry producer Richard Gregson in 1969, and the two had a daughter, Natasha, the following year. Gregson had an affair that ended their marriage only 3 years later, which left the door open for Wood to reconnect with Wagner in 1972. In a storybook twist, the two remarried that year and Wood gave birth to their daughter, Courtney, soon after. Wood and Wagner were frequent boaters and loved to visit Catalina Island. Following the Thanksgiving holiday in 1981, they set sail on their yacht named Splendor, along with Wood's co-star at the time, Christopher Walken, and the boat's captain, Dennis DeVerne. On the night of November 28th, the foursome enjoyed a boozy dinner at Doug's Harbor Reef on Catalina before heading back to the yacht. At around 11.05 p.m., after an admittedly heated exchange between Wagner and Walken that Wood had no part of, the two men realized that Wood was missing and began to look for her. They discovered that the boat's dinghy was missing and Wood was nowhere to be found. At 1:30 a.m., a ship-to-shore call was made, and by 3:30 a.m., the Coast Guard had finally been alerted about Wood's disappearance. A tragic discovery was made around 8 a.m. that morning.
The Hollywood film star Natalie Wood has died, apparently of drowning. News just coming in says her body was found floating in the sea in California near an inflatable boat. She'd been missing for several hours and was found early this morning. The police say she'd gone out in the boat by herself and either slipped, fell, or jumped off. Miss Wood was 43.
Wood's body was found at Blue Cavern Point, an isolated cove about a mile south of where the Splendor was anchored. Fun Facts, aka Death Stats. Natalie Wood's body was found on the morning of November 29th, 1981, after a rescue helicopter spotted her just beneath the water, her empty dinghy floating several hundred yards away. With us today, we have producer Clayton Early.
Hello, everyone.
Fact checker Chris Smith.
Hello, hello.
And our very special guest is Trevor Einhorn.
Hi there.
Hi, Trevor. Trevor's, for all of our guests, he's a returning guest. He was in our Jurassic Park episode. We really unpacked that episode, didn't we?
Yeah, that was something.
Yeah.
That was heavy duty. That stuck with me.
But we've recovered.
Have nightmares about that.
Yeah, yeah. We've thankfully recovered, and Trevor's back to do, you know, something near and dear to his heart. Am I right, Trevor?
Yeah. Well, first off, happy to be back. Thanks for having me back. Love the show. Big fan, and can't wait to dive into some more conspiracy death theories.
So, Trevor, we like to start our show by asking our guest, what is something that is recently alarming you? What is something that's keeping you up at night?
Oh, boy, the media. Am I right? No. keeping me up at night.
Get real with us.
Okay. Just yeah. I went to the doctor for like a checkup, first time in like a couple years, and they do the wrap around the blood pressure thing. And for whatever reason, maybe I was a little nervous. It was high.
Uh-oh.
And he was like, don't worry about it. It's totally fine. But he makes me go buy one at home. He wants me to like monitor. He's like, it's a good thing to have anyways. I was like, okay. So I've been checking it like a crazy person. Like, you can't tell me something about, now I'm going to obsess over it. So I've been checking it. Like, I email him 5 hours after the appointment, send him a photo. He wanted me to give him updates. I tell him the next morning. I went on Friday. By like Monday morning, he was like, all right, you're fine.
Return that thing. You don't
need
it. Yeah,
that's what he said. He was like, you could put it away. Don't even email me anymore. You're totally good. But my brain can't process that I'm fine. So I'll be up at night being like, all right, tomorrow's a good morning. I got to check my footprint. But I'm fine. I'm really just, it was a fluke. Fluke accident. It went down right away.
Well, I'm glad that you survived the blood pressure situation of 2021.
Yeah, it's still keeping me up at night, but I am okay.
It's good to hear that your doctor no longer wants to hear from you.
No more correspondence. He is done with me.
Lose my email.
Yeah.
That's just the perfect segue into Natalie Wood and the mysterious death surrounding
high
her.
Blood pressure.
Yeah. You know, exactly. Because had we been there, our blood pressure would have been high because we would have been watching, making sure she was okay, I guess. I'm terrible at segues is the thing. But
I thought you had it there. That was a good one.
We would have been watching.
I'm feeling stressed.
We'd have had high blood pressure. I thought that was
that's
good.
Right. That's yeah. right. Let's dive in and let's start putting things up on the board because there's a lot to cover. Now, we can start off with bad weather conditions. Why not? Right? Let's set the mood. Let's set what was going on.
Mother Nature November, up there.
November 28th. It's a fall in Catalina. It's not going to be pretty.
Now,
not going to be pretty stale.
Yeah, Trevor, tell us. Our listeners might not know this, but you're a native Los Angelino.
Oh, yeah.
You are you're just like Natalie Wood. You've been in Hollywood since you were a kid. Mm-hmm. You know, in the biz, as they say. Have you ever been to Catalina Island?
And you said you were bad at segues. That was the best. That was the best segue I've heard. I have been to Catalina, and I remember like the first time I went to Catalina, I was actually like excited because I thought it was going to be. I heard a lot about it from old Hollywood, just like this glamorous place that you could get to 45 minutes from Long Beach if you take the ferry out, and it was great. But it just feels stuck in a time a little bit, and not necessarily like a great time. Like they know they got you when you're there. They don't need to change that much. Like when you're there, there's nowhere else to go. You're in Catalina. So I had fun, but they do with the Natalie Wood story, like they harp on the booziness of everybody pretty heavily. And I would say that like the second you get off the boat, there isn't a place that you can't get a drink. I do think they push the booze pretty heavily. Mm. So yeah, that adds up. Still,
yeah.
So it's a wet island. It's a real.
Oh
wet
yeah,
island.
Nice. Yeah, yeah.
So you're saying we should maybe start with alcohol. Well, let's start with bad weather conditions, and then we'll get to the alcohol.
Yeah, I don't like alcohol, to be honest. I think that's a cover up.
Right. Oh, yeah. It's too easy. Feels too easy.
Yeah.
So this is according to Harper's Bazaar. In the interview, Christopher Walken said, per the Hollywood Reporter, anybody there saw the logistics of the boat that night, where we were, that it was raining, and you know exactly what happened.
Sorry, Rebecca, I would never insist on this, but I actually do a Christopher Walken impression. Can I read the quote as Walken?
Yes.
Okay.
Anybody there saw the logistics of the boat the night where we were? I regret this.
People can't see our faces.
We're all biting our lips.
Blood pressure thing.
It's a bit rusty. You hear about things happening to people.
And I'm sorry, Rebecca. I would never do this, but I do an impression of Chris doing an impression of Christopher Walken.
Okay.
I also read the quote.
Okay.
You see the position of the boat. And you hear the logistics. I regret this immediately.
Who did it better?
I think Trevor did Chris.
Trevor's the seasoned better. Angelino actor, so we'll have to give it to Trevor on this one.
Okay, I'll start over. Sorry, guys. You lost your reading job.
That's okay.
Anybody there saw the logistics of the boat that night, where we were, that it was raining, and you know exactly what happened. You hear about things happening to people. They slip in the bathtub, fall down the stairs, step off the curb in London because they think the cars come the other way, and they die. You feel you want to die making an effort at something, and you don't want to die in some unnecessary way. What happened that night, only she knows, because she was alone. She had gone to bed before us, and her room was at the back. A dinghy was bouncing against the side of the boat, and I think she went out to move it. There was a ski ramp that was partially in the water. It was slippery. I had walked on it myself. She had told me she couldn't swim. In fact, that they had cut a swimming scene from Brainstorm. She was probably half asleep and she was wearing a coat. In the HBO documentary Natalie Wood, The Remains Behind, Natalie's daughter and Wagner recall that Natalie frequently complained about the sound of the dinghy, made when it hit up against the side of the boat, because she was very sensitive to noise and how it would not be unusual for her to get up and adjust it so that she could sleep.
That's pretty convincing to me.
Yeah.
Like, oh, really? So case closed?
We can stop recording. You guys can stop recording. I'll wrap this up. You guys can. It was nice to see everyone.
Okay.
I've tried the end of a podcast two ways, by impersonating Christopher Walken and just asking. No, I was just saying, like, things like the alcohol, the dinghy making the noise, you're drunk, you're tired, your eyes are adjusting to whatever light there is, the boat is rocking, if you're trying to move the dinghy, you're lunging and moving in weird directions. It just seems likely that you could fall in, and I don't know.
Interesting. What do you think, Trevor?
I think that, well, this is just starting the list, right? But like the timeline of when this theory came up is what's annoying to me. It's like the whole reason behind all these things, like that is a really good convincing answer. And mm-hmm. I actually believe it because that is a motive for her to get up, get out, move something. But like that theory didn't even hit the press until like, I think 30 years later. So that's what's scary to me about it. But I do like that story. That does make sense to me. Like,
yeah, it's like a convenient story for that. I mean, this is speculative, but like it certainly takes care of some people's like suspicions in a very clean, tidy way.
Sure. This is the theory, and this is the excuse that her husband at the time, her daughter gave. They had 30 years of I would say brainstorming. Yeah. To work out the kinks.
Yeah.
You know, and you're right. It does sound, you know, it could have been an accident. Absolutely.
Yeah. But and like discuss... Chris, they're really believable in that doc. Like,
I mean,
like
they're a family of actors. Great actors.
Reeves. That's come tough. On. That's tough to say. Come on.
Let's blame acting. Acting should be on the list.
Okay.
Sure.
Put it up right there.
Great performances should be on the list. That's a good segue for me. Talking of great performances.
If you're too convincing, nobody's going to believe what the truth is. Is that
No, I mean, look, we're assuming, you know, again, this is all like a lot of nobody knows what actually happened that night. These kind of episodes are hard when they're a mystery because we have no, you know, we want the like found footage of the mm-hmm. accident, you know, and we just right. don't have it. We want the forensic evidence and it's just not there. So, you know, we're going to do our best and we're going to try and there's a lot of biased opinions and out there, but we're going to, you know, we're going to discuss them all. We're going to discuss them all.
Yeah, let's see.
Can we put report? Like, what is it like when there's different report, like different interview, what is it called? Like when someone gives not a confession, but like different alibis of, conflicting alibis. And no due diligence of adding that up in a timely manner. Useful bees. Well, yeah. Do we have a long enough board for that? Whole sentence.
I'm sorry. We're actually out of dry erase
out of paper
in the middle of the.
So let's go ahead and put alcohol up on the board. And, you know, when I posed this question of who our listeners thought was to blame, a lot of people said alcohol. Again, like Trevor said, it feels like an easier, you know, out. And let's read some stuff here. The autopsy revealed that she had bruised her left cheek in the fall, possibly being rendered temporarily unconscious. Miss Wood's blood alcohol level was 0.14%. The result of having consumed 7 or 8 glasses of wine during the evening. A person is considered under the influence of alcohol at 0.10%. Dr. Noguchi speculated that Miss Wood's slight level of intoxication had been a contributing factor to her death. According to Harper's Bazaar, Don Whiting, the night manager of the restaurant, later said he was worried that all four were too intoxicated to make it back to the boat safely in their dinghy after the meal, and even went so far as to ask Kirk Craig of the Harbor Patrol to make sure the group made it safely back to their yacht. When they left the restaurant at 10:30 p.m., the toxicology report released after Wood's death revealed that the actress had a blood alcohol of content of 0.14% at the time of her death. So, slightly intoxicated. I mean, 0.10 and 0.14, I mean, they seem like it's just slightly over, right? Yeah. What they say is intoxicated. Although it does say here that it's 8 to 7 glasses.
That's like almost 2 bottles of wine.
Yeah, that's a lot of wine.
You're pretty happy after.
And they also said something like she had I don't know if it was a sleeping pill, but something else that might have elevated her stuff too, like some sort of medication.
So they're drunk. They're in the, I mean, I'm from Florida, and the number one rule is don't drink and boat. Everyone does it. Everyone does it.
No one's following that rule. How funny.
It's the number one rule that nobody follows. But seriously, you know, you're mixing alcohol and water on a boat, right? Pretty dangerous. So, of course, was alcohol to blame? You know, and not just that, but tensions were high. You know, there are reports, we'll get to this, there are reports of them fighting, you know, mm-hmm. and we know what alcohol can do, you know, just either makes you really happy or real angry. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The difference here, though, is that at least they, unlike many people across the country, had a like a proper captain who wasn't drinking. Right.
This one was.
That's what we think.
That's yeah. what we think. That's yeah. speculation.
Yeah. And what was the meal? We don't talk about the meal enough. What if the yeah. meal was causing some stuff, you know?
Maybe it was too light. Maybe she wasn't eating enough. Or maybe they weren't eating as much as they should have been.
Were they holding leftovers? These are things I want. Was there enough breadsticks? You know, like maybe it wasn't that they were too drunk. Maybe they didn't get enough food at the restaurant.
She was trying to go back to the restaurant and get some breadsticks.
Yeah. And they were like, no,
terrible.
We're watching you from here.
Yeah.
But it is interesting that the manager of the restaurant was concerned. These people are drunk and they're going to go on a dinghy back on a boat. So let's make sure they get there at least so that they're probably not liable for, you know. So what's wild about this mystery and this death is, you know, how was known publicly that she was afraid of water.
Yeah.
Specifically dark water.
Specifically dark water. So why don't we put up dark water superstition up on the board?
Yeah.
And that came from her mother, who had, I guess, an interaction with a gypsy or something at one point.
And yes.
Gypsy said that Natalie would die by dark waters, right?
Chris, something don't like you that. Do an impression of the gypsy?
Let's hear
one
it.
One of my favorites. Okay.
Natalie Wood's mom's gypsy.
Yeah.
You might get yourself in trouble, so tread carefully.
Yeah. Let's not do that. I was teed up.
I was ready to go. Ready. This is for the best, though. Let's just move on.
Yeah.
Instead, I'm going to read this little snippet from the Huffington Post article. Natalie's mother, Maria Stepanovna. I'm probably saying that right, was a superstitious woman who had been told by a fortune teller to fear dark waters. As a child, Natalie was terrified of water, and her fear was intensified by several mysterious water-related accidents on movie sets. While shooting The Green Promise, young Natalie had to walk over the bridge during a thunderstorm. When she did, the technician flipped a switch prematurely, and the bridge collapsed, throwing Natalie into the treacherous waters and breaking her wrist. The Daily Mail said Natalie's sister, Lana Wood, told TMZ it gave Natalie a great fear. She hated the water. She couldn't even go into her own pool at home. Counterargument, the HBO documentary features several clips of Natalie happily playing in her backyard pool. Natasha, Natalie's daughter, asks, who isn't afraid of dark waters?
Can I just say, in response to this, we should just put it in there as in honor of this episode. I watched one of my favorite Natalie Wood films, which is The Great Race, last night. Mm-hmm. And if you haven't seen it, it is a slapstick, wonderful film. And there is a scene where she is, I mean, first of all, there's long scenes that takes place over the ocean where she's standing in water. And then there's a scene where she's swimming in a lake and like walks out in her like little, you know, swimsuit. For someone who is allegedly terrified of water, there's even more photographic evidence that she's happily. And it was like a lake. It wasn't just a pool. She's in like a dark lake.
If you're terrified of water, you don't have a boat.
Right.
You don't go on your boat that you own.
I think like, I think this is something I totally agree with both of you guys and where this direction of this conversation is going. I think that this is something that's lost in sort of like translation or just not translation, just mean it's sort of semantics. It's like she was afraid of dying in dark water, and that was something that she carried around with her. But mm-hmm. there's a huge difference between that and a phobia, like a fear that is present every time you see something. You know what I'm saying?
Right, right.
I also like just don't get the argument behind it. It's so counteractive. You're saying that she's afraid of water, but she also was willing to go to the edge of the boat to get the dinghy.
Yeah,
like,
right.
What are we talking about? Right. Like, it doesn't have anything to do with anything.
Well, we don't know if she was actually going to get the dinghy.
Oh, no, I know. I'm just saying, like, the argue or like stop the dinghy from making noise.
Right. But all of that is also coming from the, you know, camp of Wagner. Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
But isn't he also part of the she was afraid of water theory?
No, he was not.
So
he's
this
like
is totally separate. And
this
apart.
Is the mom's superstition. This yes. is like how you better watch out for this.
Gypsy water.
Yes. And let's talk about the mom, because it's she's an interesting character or person in her life. Mm-hmm. And perhaps we should go ahead and put her mom and childhood trauma up on the board. This is according to Variety. From early childhood, Wood's mother had filled her with fear of dark water because a fortune teller had prophesied that Maria would drown, and she transferred this and many other fears to her child. When filming The Green Promise as a 10-year-old, Wood was terrified to play a scene in which she had to cross a bridge over raging water. This is, again, the scene. A bridge that was rigged to collapse the moment she reached safety. Her mother assured her that it would be perfectly safe. When she reached the midpoint of the bridge, it collapsed, and she was thrown into the water, barely clinging to part of the bridge. Dr. William D. Russell yelled, "Keep the cameras rolling." I mean, this is director, sorry, not doctor. Director William D. Russell yelled, "Keep the cameras rolling," while the terrified child with a broken left wrist struggled in the water. You know, as we know, she was a child actor. She was, and at this time in Hollywood, they were pretty much owned by these studios. Mm-hmm. And pretty much told what to do, when to show up, what movie, you know, they had no control over their artistic choices. You know, it was a different industry. I'll continue. Yeah. Her fear of water became such a phobia that friends and family recall she was afraid to have her hair washed and had recurring nightmares about drowning. And again, at the age of 14, because of a last-minute script change, she was given a choice of jumping off the back of a boat or losing her role in The Star with Bette Davis. She jumped and immediately became hysterical. And it continues. Finstead's insistent pursuit of this and other themes from Wood's childhood gives validity to her thesis that Wood was her mother's creation. Maria transformed the child from Natasha Zakarenko into the movie star Natalie Wood by brainwashing her daughter with fantasies and fears. According to this telling, Maria was the stage mother from hell who manipulated every aspect of her child's behavior and pushed aside all else, including her other two daughters, to pursue Wood's success. She forced the child to curry favor and with powerful people and threatened her with punishment if she forgot her lines. The book says that Maria set up her 15-year-old daughter to be seduced by 38-year-old Frank Sinatra. Her mother was a pimp, noted one friend in disgust. 2 years later, Maria looked the other way while Wood had an affair with 43-year-old Nicholas Ray that landed her the starring role in Ray's film Rebel Without a Cause, which launched Wood's adult career.
So, I mean, we got to put Dark Water Stage Mom as the, yes. On the list. Like, this She's is just there. Too many facts. It's just building bad parenting.
Yep.
I mean, in learning about Natalie Wood and, you know, her career, I mean, she was obviously a really great actor. And I got really sad kind of learning about just her childhood and what her upbringing must have been like. You know, she was the sole breadwinner for much of her childhood for her family. You know, she had this very controlling mother, stage mom, who, you know, put her in these situations that as a child she probably didn't want to do, and then on top of that, you know, the brainwashing, or not the brainwashing, but the, you know, how do I say this, but like the pushing her to make herself favorable to all of these men directors.
Grooming, yeah.
Exactly. Right.
And that's where I was going to go. I think that, you know, you can blame the mom for sort of not protecting her in certain ways and also sort of forcing her to work and, you know, just being sort of a taskmaster. But you have to sort of also put up there sort of just Hollywood misogyny, I think.
Because totally.
What you got there is, first of all, the fact that there was a certain expectation that, you know, women had to had some kind of role to fill and that these men could sort of take advantage of them. I mean, the story about Rebel Without a Cause was like pretty disturbing. I mean, she's like a young woman. I think she's, what, 16 or something?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And,
she's
and the
15
director
when...
took, the director
yeah,
took
she's
her
15
up to,
when she has an affair. She's seduced by Frank Sinatra and then 2 years later, so 17. So this is child. This is, you know, this is rape.
My point is that this is, yes. And my point is also that this is like socially acceptable behavior of that time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's most disturbing. And to me, I would say that has to do with the sort of male-dominated workplace.
In the same way that she would get injured on a set, like fall off a bridge that wasn't supposed to collapse.
Exactly.
And just, like, keep rolling. It's yes. like just a disregard for human like well-being, especially female.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think Hollywood misogyny is a very good thing to add to the list because, like, I think that plays into a lot of, like, the cover-up of this, like, her just being a Hollywood starlet and, like, them just having convenient answers for things. It just feels like that is a big part of that big umbrella to protect, right. you know, Robert Wagner and Christopher Walken a little bit more. Hmm.
Let's put Wagner up on the board.
Yeah.
So Natalie Wood's sister, Lana, has pointed fingers at Wagner for years and is estranged from Natalie's daughter, Natasha and Courtney. Captain of the yacht, Dennis DeVerne, published a book, Goodbye, Natalie, Goodbye, Splendor, in 2009 that accused Wagner as well. This is the captain. According to a Vanity Fair article, in 2011, the Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department reopened its investigation into Wood's death after Splendor Captain Dennis DeVerne claimed he had heard Wood and Wagner arguing the night of Wood's death. Later, the coroner changed Wood's cause of death to drowning and other undetermined factors. New witnesses led police to reclassify Wood's death as suspicious. In 2018, Wagner was named a person of interest by the LA County Sheriff's Department, and Natalie's own sister, Lana Wood, has spent years publicly sharing her doubts that Wood's death was an accident and demanding that Wagner, her brother-in-law, tell the truth for once and for all. According to Dennis DeVerne, captain of the yacht, Wagner became agitated and jealous of Walken, which was on the boat, Christopher Walken. Remember Chris's impression. That's my side notes, not what I'm reading.
Oh, they haven't heard my impression? I thought that Vanity Fair was...
they quoted your impression in the Jacksonville Times or whatever. So he was jealous of Walken and became convinced that he wanted to sleep with his wife. DeVerne wrote in his 2009 tell-all that Wagner became so angry that he smashed a bottle of wine on the table in the yacht's main salon, causing everybody to shield themselves from the broken glass. Walken became upset, retreated to his stateroom, while Wagner chased Wood into the master stateroom to continue the argument. DeVerne said that he also heard them arguing on the aft deck of the boat. Shortly after that, Wagner told them that Wood was missing. This is what DeVerne said. At first, DeVerne searched the boat to see whether Natalie was somewhere on board, and he wanted to turn on the spotlight to see if she was in the water. But Wagner told him not to. After 4 hours, DeVerne finally called the Coast Guard. He says he truly regrets waiting so long. So it goes on, and there are other claims by other people who were in boats around that were nearby the Splendor that night. This is according to Inside Edition. One witness says, who kept quiet until now, says he heard a woman in the water crying for help on the fateful night. Marilyn Wayne told 48 Hours Mystery, I heard a woman calling for help. Help me, somebody, help me, I'm drowning. Wayne said that her yacht was moored 50 yards from the Splendor, the boat where Wood was partying with husband Robert Wagner, and actor Christopher Walken of Catalina Island over Thanksgiving weekend in 1981. The New People magazine says that 3 days after Wood's death, Wayne says she found a hand-scribbled note in her mailbox that read, if you value your life, keep quiet about what you know. Another new development comes from the Splendor's captain, Dennis Deverne, in his just-released book. He describes an explosive fight on board with a jealous Wagner, upset because he thought his wife was flirting with Walken, and he screamed at Wood, "Get off my boat." Apparently, after all of this went down, everything went quiet. So he was having a fight with Wood in the back of the boat. He said, "Get off my boat," and then everything went quiet.
First off, I think everyone that was on the boat should be on the list, no matter what.
Deverne, throw them up there, yeah.
Deverne, Wagner, and Walken. And, like, even just hearing these stories, I'm like, horrible captain. No, at a certain point, your responsibility as a captain is to take control of everything on the boat, especially in emergency situations. For you to just say, "I'm going to put the searchlight on," and someone goes, "No," and you go, "Okay," for 4 hours.
Right. The captain is in charge of, no matter how big your client is, a captain is a captain.
It's like that. I just blame bad captain a little bit. I'm not saying that he's responsible for the death, but I am saying he's not doing a great job helping the situation, especially with all these new claims and books. Like, where was that 40 years ago?
Well, yeah. I mean, I agree with you. I think that it boggles me. Like, so someone goes missing on a boat. You search it. It takes you, what, 5 minutes?
Right.
Yeah.
Or you just search, like, the boat for 5 minutes.
The search. Yeah.
And then you turn on the lights to see if they're around in the water.
And the boat's not, I mean, I'm sure it was a nice boat, but it's not a freaking, like, cruise ship. Like, no. You can search it pretty quickly and realize someone's not on the boat.
I could do it in 5 minutes.
No, there was no mystery that she wasn't on the boat. That was not the mystery for them in their claim. They were like, "We knew she wasn't on the boat, but it took us 2.5 hours to call the Coast Guard," is the issue. Right.
Yeah.
So if they knew right away, why didn't they call right away? Or why didn't they start the search right away? That is the big question.
Well, apparently, from what I heard, they called the harbor patrol, which is different than the Coast Guard, but the harbor patrol never picked up. So I don't know where the harbor patrol was.
Very convenient.
Some, you know, I heard on a podcast that they said that the harbor patrol was perhaps it's possible that they had been partying at one of the parties. Mm-hmm. Nearby.
Well, that gets wrapped into, we'll throw the harbor patrol up there, and also that gets the wrapped restaurant? Into alcohol too.
Yeah,
we got to throw the restaurant. Throw the restaurant up there too.
Why don't we just call it the Catalina lifestyle?
Oh yeah,
like that includes the harbor patrol and the restaurant, and just the whole. Okay,
yeah, all, just the
all
partying,
the Catalina, you know, fans of this podcast are going to be pretty upset about that.
Are they? I don't know.
Check that off the list.
No, they're all drunk and partying and not answering the phones.
Yeah, they're not downloading this podcast.
So we have that, you know, we had a listener suggestion come from Amanda P. Monty, and they also had your take, Trevor, spicy take. Amanda says, Christopher Walken, put them on the board. If Natalie and RJ didn't entertain him on her boat that weekend, she wouldn't have ended up in the water.
Hmm. Yeah, I just, it's like, this is such a, I mean, there are so many factors and there are so many things that tie into so many things. It really is a hard one to, like, we can make a huge list of a lot of different things.
Yeah.
It's really hard to narrow it down to, like, where my focus goes.
When you're absent of fact, you know, anything, it sort of opens up the dark waters of possibilities.
Nice. That's a good segue. But also it is really interesting that, there are a lot of people willing to put their reputations constantly on the line for this story, even the LAPD, to reopen a case in 2018 and to, like, name a person of interest is not, like, an easy thing to do or should be taken. So it's like there is weight to this stuff. There is a reason why people are willing to continue to go to bat and risk their reputation for it. I think a lot of people believe that there was a disservice done at the time of, you know, the death.
Well, you know, I think that's a really good point, Trevor. And I think that, you know, the last thing I kind of wanted to put up on the board, aside from, you know, perhaps she drowned, right? Which I think we should put up on the board
too.
We should also put up covering up involve a cover up involving Dr. Noguchi. So this is from Natalie Wood, a book by Suzanne Finstad. Dr. Michael Franco may be able to provide a missing link. Franco, a family medicine specialist in Los Angeles, was an intern at the L.A. Coroner's Office when Natalie Wood's body was flown to Los Angeles County and USC Medical Center from Catalina. As a volunteer intern in 1981, he wasn't listed as coroner's employee and therefore would not have been questioned. Franco observed that he was certain a critical physical evidence on Natalie's body that establishes her death was a homicide. For 40 years, Franco has kept silent, not wanting to be pulled into a media circus. After decades of reflection and my persuasion, he decided that coming forward was the right thing to do. What Franco observed and found suspicious were the bruises on Natalie's interior thighs and shins, bruises he described as friction burns. He told me that what struck him as wrong, I remember the situation where in the opposite direction of somebody trying to get onto a boat, it was almost like somebody being pushed off. And because of the significant amount of bruising in the lower anterior thighs and shin, that's what caught my attention. She would have had to have been pushed forcefully off, or there was a force that was pulling her off or something. The amount of noticeable bruising to the thigh shouldn't have been there. Franco took it up with Dr. Noguchi. I mentioned to him the abrasions on Natalie. I told him I was having trouble understanding them. I said that they seemed to be in the opposite direction of what one would expect as to her cause of death. I remember when I told him who I was, he hesitantly stopped doing what he was doing, looked up at me, nodded his head, didn't say anything, and then he continued doing what he had been doing. What he said was, "Some things are best left unsaid."
Oof. I don't know about that.
No, I know.
Chris is not trusting.
No, I don't trust it either. I mean, I don't know why none of these stories don't have a drowning specialist backing up any of these claims. Mm-hmm. Like, none of these articles go to an outside source saying, how would you investigate this? It's always hearsay of the people somewhat involved. It's very close to home. It's not a wide reach out. But I, you know, like, I don't know. It's rocky in like it's coral reefs in Catalina. Like, I don't know enough about bruising or dark water to really add something to that claim. But if the evidence was that sure, if he was that sure of it, then it should have been brought to light then.
Yeah. It should have been pursued. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds right.
Let's take a quick break, and after that break, we'll start knocking things off the list.
Can't wait.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Okay, we're back. Chris.
Okay, who's to blame for the death of Natalie Wood? Bad weather conditions, acting and other great performances, alcohol, dark water superstition, Natalie Wood's mother, Hollywood misogyny, Robert Wagner, Duverne Walken Wagner, the whole boat crew, Captain Duverne's timid captaining, Catalina lifestyle, Christopher Walken, drowning, or a cover-up from Dr. Noguchi.
Thank you, Chris. Yeah. Okay, so pretty long list. Not the longest we've ever had, shockingly.
Should we? Sorry to do this. This is really bad. Should we add the boat just because, like, unstable boat, like just in case she was thrown off by the boat itself? Is that a possibility?
Well, that would be probably the weather, right? So the choppy water.
Yeah, good. Thank you, Chris.
We'll fold that right in. We'll put it on the list, and then we'll fold it right into bad weather conditions.
Yep, that's great.
Good job.
Yeah, good.
So I guess right off the bat, we could probably take off acting and other great performances.
And with that, Christopher Walken should probably come off too. Not only because he's a great actor, but because there's just not enough evidence to suggest that he was.
I also think that at this point, someone would have spilled more about what Walken knows. Like, he's in the limelight so much that, like, how do you not go to set and go, so tell me what happened?
Right.
I believe he famously does not speak about it.
I know, but, like, but he might. But he
get Trevor in there.
Yeah. Yeah. If I bring my blood pressure monitor, someone will start talking.
Do my impression of him and tell him that and see if that cracks the facade. Yeah.
Hey, Chris, I have another Chris that does an impression of you. And then I do an impression of that Chris doing an impression of you. So here it goes.
That's good, Trevor. I will say this, though. I do feel as someone who was on the boat at the time of the disappearance, we perhaps should keep him on because, I don't know, perhaps they could have done more. Perhaps, I don't know, if I'm on a, I'm trying to put myself in his shoes. If I'm on a boat with, you know, it's just me, Trevor, and his wife, Alex.
Whoa.
Wow.
What kind of boat is this?
It's a big one. It's awesome. Yeah. It's an awesome boat. It's Trevor's boat.
Cool.
And, and Alex goes missing. I don't know. And Trevor's like, eh, we'll find her in the morning. I'd be like, whoa.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't worry about it. She's been afraid of dark water her whole life. Don't worry about it. She's probably in one of the other cabins. Did you search the boat? Yeah.
It took me 5 minutes.
Yeah. All right. Well, I got to go to bed. We had 8 bottles of wine.
Wait. Trevor, let's at least turn the lights on. Let's talk.
No, turn the lights off.
Trevor's an angry drunk. He's an angry drunk.
I don't, it blows my mind. Even if you give me the excuse of like, oh, maybe she took the dinghy, you know, back to the restaurant to get more breadsticks.
Keep acting and Christopher Walken on the list because, like, if we wind up with another person on the boat, they were acting to the police about what actually happened.
Interesting.
We still have them grouped together. We still have Duverne, Walken, and Wagner as a whole crew. They're still on the list.
Okay, they're still. So let's keep Walken on the list for now. I think that we can take the dark water superstition off.
Yeah.
I'm not
more just like an inevitability. If that really is a true prediction, then That's yeah. Just,
and let's take not, mom. We got to take her mom off too. She wasn't even in Catalina. If we're being real right now,
right.
She wasn't in Catalina.
Yeah. Although the childhood trauma might have contributed to, I don't know. It's hard. We
bad
all have
decisions.
Childhood trauma, right?
Bad decisions. But you know, yeah. She was the one on the boat. And
but is everyone like, I'm, this is probably a sensitive subject, but suicide has been ruled out, correct?
I believe that, like even Robert Wagner, when asked by police if she was suicidal, he said absolutely not.
Okay. Mm.
So it doesn't seem to be on the table.
And I trust him on everything he says.
Well, what's
curious.
Hear
what he said about the murder? Yeah. Well, suicide, you got to believe the guy.
Well, if he was trying to cover it up, that would have been an easy answer.
Sure.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. She was suicidal. She probably, you know.
Now that's a good Robert Wagner impression.
Speaking of which, I feel like we can take Hollywood misogyny off the board.
I don't think
so. No.
Keep that thing up.
Keep that up there.
You can slap it all you want, but you think that she died because of misogyny?
Possible.
I think that the cover up could be responsible for getting to the truth of her death.
Yes.
But that's not the cause of her death.
No.
It's a big conditional. You're basically saying if there was a murder, there would be a cover up, and the root of that cover up is sort of.
I'm just saying it was two guys on the boat.
Misogyny.
And a woman goes missing.
Three
guys on a boat. A woman goes missing, and they're like, let's just wait.
I'm with you. I mean, it's going to be, I don't know who to take off next, except for maybe Catalina Lifestyle.
Yeah.
The cover up from Dr. Noguchi is a little thin for me, personally.
Yeah. Okay. Let's take those off.
I have wanted to take off alcohol. But that is very controversial. It is like literally the main thing that everyone leans on is that they were very boozed up, and that totally led to, but I don't believe that's too convenient.
You can't blame, I mean, like, unless someone forced alcohol down your throat.
Yeah.
It's like, you can't blame the alcohol for, I mean, you're the one who's drinking it. You know that it messes with your judgment, and it may be a contributing factor, but if you ultimately consume a bunch of alcohol and then have a freak accident and die, then it's kind of on you.
Mm-hmm. But here's why I don't buy the alcohol theory. I don't buy that it's the first time they went to this restaurant and drank a bunch of bottles of wine and then came back to the boat and, like, you know, hung out.
Sure.
I'm sure this is they went to Catalina Island supposedly like every holiday, every weekend, every chance they got. And you're telling me that this was the first time that they drank a lot of alcohol on the boat? No. Yeah.
I mean, maybe they were very lucky before. Like, alcohol does, you know.
It does.
Just let's all drink responsibly.
Yes, don't drink in boat. The number one rule.
Number one rule. I just don't like how much they lean on it for all the story. I don't like that they blame her drinking for her death, because it feels like out of all the things that were the problem there, to me, that feels like the least of our worries.
Yeah.
You know, like.
I feel like in that same light, drowning, just like as a general concept, is kind of hard to like pinpoint for like the blame of this.
An accident. You know, perhaps it should be renamed as an accident.
Mm-hmm.
Was it an accidental drowning?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think we can take bad weather conditions off.
Mm-hmm.
I do think that we can take the Captain DeVerne's, timid captaining. I mean, not great captaining, but we can take it out. It wasn't like
it wasn't a big thing to talk about.
So what we have up on the board are Hollywood misogyny, Robert Wagner, DeVerne, so all the boat crew, and accidental drowning. Oh. That's what we have left. What do we think should be sent?
It's tough because we're in a position where we might be actually, you know. I mean, we've got to bring the hammer down. If somebody we feel is responsible, we've got to say who it is, I guess. It's just,
I mean, my whole life, of even digging into this, I thought that it was Robert Wagner, mm-hmm. but recently, like with all like the recent stuff, even them reopening the case and him being a person of interest, I can't, like, there isn't enough for me to really get behind that. Like mm-hmm. there is not enough. And anytime that I actually read or hear him talk about it, I don't know if this shouldn't be fair, but like, I don't see murderer, you know, like I don't see, but I see good acting. I see good acting. Yeah, that's the problem.
I feel like that. I mean, to that point, and the fact that there is so much speculation
yeah.
and so much time between what happened, and it's kind of like, well, just it's truly will always be one of those mysteries that we'll never yeah. know. You'd really have to kind of spread the blame out on all the people who were there who could have actually. I mean, that's where I'm leaning. All yeah. of them are somewhat responsible.
Here's the thing. It's all alleged. We'll never know what actually happened. And it's not fair to be like, okay, well, he definitely did it. You know, it's speculation. You know, yeah. we don't know. But right. What really irks me about this case is how long they waited to call the Coast Guard and how little they did to try and find her if she was missing.
That is a fact that I can get behind. If she was still alive, you waited too long to find her. Now that is some, if you are responding and you openly admitted that you waited to turn the searchlight on and gather your thought, like that is something that I can say. You might not have pushed her, but you might have waited too long.
Yeah.
So what's to blame for that? You would say just that the crew?
Lack of alarmism.
Judgment. Robert Wagner judgment.
Maybe the judgment was clouded by the alcohol. I don't know. But there, on the show, we're all about alarmism. We're trying to spread the word on that and how everyone should be alarmed. And I think it all goes back to Hollywood misogyny. Mm-hmm. Why was there a lack of alarmism on this boat?
I mean, Hollywood misogyny is bad, but I don't connect that to lack of alarmism on the night of a, you know, drunken Catalina, mm-hmm. if anything, I would say maybe Catalina lifestyle was to blame. And if that's what we're saying, if the lack of alarmism is what we're sort of circling around, maybe we should revive Catalina lifestyle because everyone seemed to be sort of resting on their laurels. And, you know, there seems to be like, okay, we're all the way out here in Catalina Island. Let's relax.
Nothing matters.
And let's just get drunk and sort of everything will be fine. It's sort of like,
yeah. Be careful with your boat invites. Like just be careful who you invite, you know, yeah. it can okay. lead to anything.
Well, I feel pretty good about that. So what about this? We send a lack of alarmism / Catalina lifestyle to the alarmist jail and we slap every single person on that boat.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I would slap them all.
So I'm taking Catalina lifestyle and putting it back on the board for sure.
Yeah, sometimes that happens on the show.
Slap them all. They're wasted. They had 8,000.
Wake up. You're wasted.
Yeah. Get out of here.
Is that like the official? Are we calling it or are we still kind of chatting?
Yeah, I'm going to call it. Devern Walken Wagner, the whole boat crew, you're getting the big slap. The Catalina lifestyle and a lack of alarmism. You're going to the alarmist jail. And there you have it. You know, it's a mystery, but it you know, for now it's solved on the alarmist.
Well, yeah, we have to make our decisions, and I think we did a good one here.
Yeah, for now it is. And Trevor, thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, thanks for having me.
You know, we couldn't have gotten to the bottom of the death of Natalie Wood without you.
I hope we got to it. Big shout out to Omron blood pressure monitor. Don't forget to pick those up. Local CVS or Walgreens. I have nothing to do with the company. Just wanted to say thank you to them.
Just big fans out here. You got some big fans.
Trevor's the only one who gets to like sign off as the show's ended.
I don't even know if I'm allowed to do it. I could keep talking about this. I'm disturbed.
Though it has been several decades since Natalie Wood's untimely death, her family members still grapple with the shadow of her fame and the unanswered questions surrounding the sudden loss of their beloved mother, wife, and friend. Recently, there has been renewed attention on Robert Wagner as a person of interest in her death.
though there has never been any evidence of foul play. Both of Wood's daughters, Natasha and Courtney, remain close with their father to this day. Vote for who you think is to blame by going to thealarmistpodcast.com. Follow us at The Alarmist The on Twitter, at The Alarmist Podcast on Instagram, or email us at thealarmistpodcast@gmail.com. Tune in next week. We'll be discussing the Caproon funicular disaster.
Powered by Acast.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.